Chapter 100. Appearance. Miss Dancer and her feminine graces. The Miser's Mansion. The finding of a treasure. The story of the mutton pies. A miser's idea of death. Bob, the miser's cur. Griffiths and his master. How to turn a penny. A substitute for a fire. The advantages of keeping a snuff box. The miser dies without a shirt. The treasures of a dunghill apostrophe, eh? What's that? Apostrophe demanded Mr. Boffin. The treasures, sir, apostrophe repeated Silas, reading very distinctly, of a dunghill. Mr. Venus, sir, would you oblige with the snuffers? Apostrophe is, to secure attention to his adding with his lips only, mounds. Apostrophe apostrophe, Mr. Boffin drew an armchair into the space where he stood, and said, seating himself and slyly rubbing his hands. Give us Dancer. Apostrophe, Mr. Wegg pursued the biography of that eminent man through its various phases of avarice and dirt, through Miss Dancer's death on the sick regimen of cold dumpling, and through Mr. Dancer's keeping his rags together with a hayband, and warming his dinner by sitting upon it, down to the consolatory incident of his dying naked in a sack, after which he read on as follows. The house, or rather the heap of ruins, in which Mr. Dancer lived, and which at his death devolved to the right of Captain Holmes, was a most miserable, decayed building, for it had not been repaired for more than half a century. Apostrophe, here Mr. Wegg eyes his comrade, and the room in which they sat, which had not been repaired for a long time. But though poor in external structure, the ruinous fabric was very rich in the interior. It took many weeks to explore its whole contents, and Captain Holmes found it a very agreeable task to dive into the miser's secret hoards. Apostrophe, here Mr. Wegg repeated secret hoards, and pegged his comrade again. One of Mr. Dancer's richest escritters was found to be a dung heap in the cowhouse. A sum but little short of £2,500 was contained in this rich piece of manure. And in an old jacket, carefully tied, and strongly nailed down to the manger, in banknotes and gold were found £500 more. Apostrophe, here Mr. Wegg's wooden leg started forward under the table, and slowly elevated itself as he read on. Several bowls were discovered filled with guineas and half-guineas, and at different times on searching the corners of the house they found various parcels of banknotes. Some were crammed into the crevices of the wall. Here Mr. Venus looked at the wall. Bundles were hid under the cushions and covers of the chairs. Here Mr. Venus looked under himself on the settle. Some were reposing snugly at the back of the drawers, and notes amounting to £600 were found neatly doubled up in the inside of an old teapot. In the stable the captain found jugs full of old dollars and shillings. The chimney was not left unsearched, and paid very well for the trouble, for in 19 different holes, all filled with soot, were found various sums of money, amounting together to more than £200. Apostrophe, on the way to this crisis Mr. Wegg's wooden leg had gradually elevated itself more and more, and he had nudged Mr. Venus with his opposite elbow deeper and deeper, until at length the preservation of his balance became incompatible with the two actions, and he now dropped over sideways upon that gentleman, squeezing him against the settle's edge. Nor did either of the two, for some few seconds, make any effort to recover himself. Both remaining in a kind of pecuniary swoon. But the sight of Mr. Boffin sitting in the armchair hugging himself, with his eyes upon the fire, acted as a restorative. Counterfeiting a sneeze to cover their movements, Mr. Wegg, with a spasmodic tish ho, apostrophe apostrophe pulled himself and Mr. Venus up in a masterly manner. Let's have some more, apostrophe said Mr. Boffin, hungrily. John Elves is the next, sir. Is it your pleasure to take John Elves? Apostrophe apostrophe, ah. Apostrophe apostrophe said Mr. Boffin. Let's hear what John did. Apostrophe, he did not appear to have hidden anything, so went off rather flatly. But an exemplary lady named Wilcox, who had stowed away gold and silver in a pickle pot in a clock case, a canister full of treasure in a hole under her stairs, and a quantity of money in an old rat trap, revived the interest. To her succeeded another lady, claiming to be a pauper, whose wealth was found wrapped up in little scraps of paper and old rag. To her, another lady, apple woman by trade, who had saved a fortune of £10,000, and hidden it here and there, in cracks and corners, behind bricks and under the flooring. Apostrophe to her, a French gentleman, who had crammed up his chimney, rather to the detriment of its drawing powers, a leather valise, containing 20,000 francs, gold coins, and a large quantity of precious stones, apostrophe as discovered by a chimney sweep after his death. By these steps Mr. Wegg arrived at a concluding instance of the human magpie. Many years ago, there lived at Cambridge a miserly old couple of the name of Jardin. They had two sons. The father was a perfect miser, and at his death 1,000 guineas were discovered secreted in his bed. The two sons grew up as parsimonious as their sire. When about 20 years of age, they commenced business at Cambridge as drapers, and they continued there until their death. The establishment of the Messrs. Jardin was the most dirty of all the shops in Cambridge. Customers seldom went in to purchase, except perhaps out of curiosity. The brothers were most disreputable-looking beings, for, although surrounded with gay apparel as their staple in trade, they wore the most filthy rags themselves. It is said that they had no bed, and, to save the expense of one, always slept on a bundle of packing cloths under the counter. In their housekeeping they were penurious in the extreme. A joint of meat did not grace their board for 20 years. Yet when the first of the brothers died, the other, much to his surprise, found large sums of money which had been secreted even from him. Apostrophe there. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mr. Boffin. Even from him, you see. There was only two of them, and yet one of them hid from the other. Apostrophe, Mr. Venus, who since his introduction to the French gentleman, had been stooping to peer up the chimney, had his attention recalled by the last sentence, and took the liberty of repeating it. Do you like it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Mr. Boffin, turning suddenly. I beg your pardon, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, do you like what Wegg's been a-reading? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Venus answered, that he found it extremely interesting. Then come again, apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin, and hear some more. Come when you like, come the day after tomorrow, half an hour sooner. There's plenty more, there's no end to it. Apostrophe, Mr. Venus expressed his acknowledgments, and accepted the invitation. It's wonderful what's been hid, at one time and another, apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin, ruminating, truly wonderful. Apostrophe, meaning sir, apostrophe, observed Wegg, with a propitiatory face to draw him out, and with another peg at his friend and brother, in the way of money? Apostrophe, apostrophe, money, apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin. Ah! And papers. Apostrophe, Mr. Wegg, in a languid transport, again dropped over on Mr. Venus, and again recovering himself, masked his emotions with a sneeze. Tish ho! Did you say papers to, sir? Been hidden, sir? Apostrophe, hidden and forgot, apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin. Why, the bookseller that sold me the wonderful museum, where's the wonderful museum? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he was on his knees on the floor in a moment, groping eagerly among the books. Can I assist you, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Wegg. No, I have got it. Here it is, apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin, dusting it with the sleeve of his coat. Volume 4. I know it was the fourth volume that the bookseller read it to me out of. Look for it, Wegg. Apostrophe, Silas took the book and turned the leaves. Remarkable petrification, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, that's not it, apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin. It can't have been a petrification. Apostrophe, Memoirs of General John Reed, commonly called the Walking Rushlight, sir? with portrait? Apostrophe, no, nor yet him, apostrophe said Mr. Boffin. Remarkable case of a person who swallowed a crown piece, sir. Apostrophe, apostrophe, to hide it? Apostrophe, apostrophe asked Mr. Boffin. Why, no, sir, apostrophe replied Wegg. Consulting the text, it appears to have been done by accident. Oh, this next must be it. Singular discovery of a will, lost 21 years. Apostrophe, that's it. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mr. Boffin. Read that. Apostrophe, a most extraordinary case, apostrophe read Silas Wegg aloud, was tried at the last Maryborough Assizes in Ireland. It was briefly this. Robert Baldwin, in March 1782 made his will, in which he devised the lands now in question, to the children of his youngest son, soon after which his faculties failed him, and he became altogether childish and died, above 80 years old. The defendant, the eldest son, immediately afterwards gave out that his father had destroyed the will, and no will being found, he entered into possession of the lands in question, and so matters remained for 21 years, the whole family during all that time believing that the father had died without a will. But after 21 years the defendant's wife died, and he very soon afterwards, at the age of 78, married a very young woman, which caused some anxiety to his two sons, whose poignant expressions of this feeling so exasperated their father, that he in his resentment executed a will, to disinherit his eldest son, and in his fit of anger showed it to his second son, who instantly determined to get at it, and destroy it, in order to preserve the property to his brother. With this view, he broke open his father's desk, where he found not his father's will which he sought after, but the will of his grandfather, which was then altogether forgotten in the family. Apostrophe, there. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin. See what men put away and forget, or mean to destroy, and don't. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he then added in a slow tone, astonishing. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and as he rolled his eyes all round the room, Wegg, and Venus likewise rolled their eyes all round the room. And then Wegg, singly, fixed his eyes on Mr. Boffin looking at the fire again, as if he had a mind to spring upon him, and demand his thoughts or his life. However, time's up for tonight, apostrophe said Mr. Boffin, waving his hand after a silence. More, the day after tomorrow. Range the books upon the shelves, Wegg. I dare say Mr. Venus will be so kind as help you. Apostrophe, while speaking, he thrust his hand into the breast of his outer coat, and struggled with some object there that was too large to be got out easily. What was the stupefaction of the friendly movers, when this object at last emerging, proved to be a much dilapidated dark lantern. Without at all noticing the effect produced by this little instrument, Mr. Boffin stood it on his knee, and, producing a box of matches, deliberately lighted the candle in the lantern, blew out the kindled match, and cast the end into the fire. I'm going, Wegg, apostrophe he then announced, to take a turn about the place and round the yard. I don't want you. Me and this same lantern have taken hundreds thousands of such turns, in our time together. Apostrophe, but I couldn't think, sir, not on any account, I couldn't, apostrophe Wegg was politely beginning, when Mr. Boffin, who had risen, and was going towards the door, stopped. I have told you, that I don't want you, Wegg. Apostrophe, Wegg looked intelligently thoughtful, as if that had not occurred to his mind until he now brought it to bear on the circumstance. He had nothing for it, but to let Mr. Boffin go out, and shut the door behind him. But, the instant he was on the other side of it, Wegg clutched Venus with both hands, and said in a choking whisper, as if he were being strangled. Mr. Venus, he must be followed. He must be watched, he mustn't be lost sight of for a moment. Apostrophe, why mustn't he? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Venus, also strangling. Comrade, you might have noticed I was a little elevated in spirits, when you come in tonight. I found something. Apostrophe, what have you found? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Venus, clutching him with both hands, so that they stood interlocked like a couple of preposterous gladiators. There's no time to tell you now. I think he must have gone to look for it. We must have an eye upon him instantly. Apostrophe, releasing each other, they crept to the door, opened it softly, and peeped out. It was a cloudy night, and the black shadow of the mounds made the dark yard darker. If not a double swindler, apostrophe whispered Wegg, why a dark lantern? We could have seen what he was about, if he had carried a light one. Softly, this way. Apostrophe, cautiously along the path, that was beordered by fragments of crockery set in ashes, the two stole after him. They could hear him at his peculiar trot, crushing the loose cinders as he went. He knows the place by heart, apostrophe muttered Silas, and don't need to turn his lantern on, confound him. Apostrophe, apostrophe, but he did turn it on, almost in that same instant, and flashed its light upon the first of the mounds. Is that the spot? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Venus in a whisper. He's warm, apostrophe, said Silas in the same tone. He's precious warm. He's close. I think he must be going to look for it. What's that he's got in his hand? Apostrophe, apostrophe, a shovel, apostrophe, answered Venus. And he knows how to use it, remember, 50 times as well as either of us. Apostrophe, if he looks for it and misses it, partner, apostrophe, suggested Wegg, what shall we do? Apostrophe, apostrophe, first of all, wait till he does, apostrophe, said Venus. Discreet advice too, for he darkened his lantern again, and the Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.